guys. I'm Shauna.
And I'm Ash.
And this is another Bitty Bothered.
This is a fun Bitty Bothered. This one is like a creepy Bitty Bothered.
Yeah,
this one. And a little bit of science-y.
Yeah, it's science-y. It's creepy. I mean, it creeped me out enough that I stopped researching. If you guys have me on like Snapchat or anything like that, yeah.
That was cute. You were literally like, I had to fucking walk away.
I really did, only because you guys are going to realize I've kind of talked about this, like, in one of our earlier episodes when it came
without
to, like...
Without realizing that this is what we were talking about. Yeah, like... she was talking about.
Yeah, the last house I lived in was very much haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Never really, like, connected much until I started doing the research on this episode, and I'm literally, like, sitting there, like, reading this guy's, like, firsthand account, and, like, I was just like,
Oh, wow, this sounds real familiar.
This is,
That's gotta be really jarring, though, to be like, I fucking lived through this shit already. Yeah. What? Like,
and I'll get more into it when I talk about it, because, like, I legit got, like, upset. I was upset. Mm. And I don't get that upset, so.
Not over something like this.
Yeah, so
We haven't had many stories that made us upset yet.
No, not really. And a lot of things don't, like, super upset me. No. So I was kind of, like, shocked.
Bothered, yes.
I was bothered. Upset. I was very bothered. I straight up, like, went and talked to my mom, and I was like, hey, have I talked to you about this? And she was like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm fine. Like, it's fine. But, like, have we talked about this? And she was just like, no. I was like, okay, well. Then I talked to her about it.
We're talking about it now.
And she got upset, and she was just like, I don't want to talk about this.
Like, this is why we haven't talked about
it. I was like, okay, this is why I haven't brought it up with you, because this is the reaction that I would get. But
so much fun. Without further ado,
guys. We're talking about sleep paralysis and the Hat Man. Also kind of shadow people a little bit.
Yes.
Too.
Yes. Shauna's going to take over the Hat Man and the shadow people portion of it. And I'm your scientific explorer, I guess.
For
and we're
going to
break down the sleep paralysis.
Yeah. So nothing is new considering we just finished recording the last episode you guys had like less than 5 minutes ago. So nothing's changed since
Which
then.
Which will be a week apart from this one, but we just recorded Ed Gein.
Yeah. Like
10 seconds ago.
Yeah, basically.
And now we're jumping into this.
Into this one. So Ashley is going to hit us off with a...
Sleep paralysis. So, pretty much most of my information came from medicalnewstoday.com. Just throwing that out there. The whole sleep paralysis idea and everything has been documented for centuries from different cultures and different parts of the world. So this isn't something that's, like, native to, like, any one type of person. It's not a genetic thing. It's not rare. Like, it happens.
An interjection, Ashley and I both suffer from sleep paralysis.
Definitely do. We both have our own personal testimonies. I've got a couple really, really shitty ones that I will mention in mine, and Shauna has hers that we will revive from a previous episode but drag out a little bit more and get more detail with it. I fucking hate this so much. And you guys will hear why. It's disgusting. So, in short, sleep paralysis is basically a feeling of being unable to move, typically at the very beginning of your sleeping or as you're waking up. Your senses and awareness remain totally intact, but you often feel as if there's a pressure on your body or on your chest. You might feel like you're choking or having trouble breathing, and it's often accompanied by hallucinations and intense fear. So, consciously, you're awake, but physically, you are totally incapable of speaking or moving during the entire episode, and you may or may not experience muscle pains or muscle cramping and headache.
Yes, and this is because your brain has woken up before your body, basically,
don't beat me to
right?
It. Yes.
Okay.
But basically that.
Basically
that. Okay. I have everything broken down with, like, your REM cycles and everything, just because I feel like I've tried to talk to people and tell them my experiences, and they're like, I don't understand. Even my husband, I asked him if he like, has experienced this, and he was kind of just looking at me
like, excuse me,
no.
What?
But most people, you try to tell them, like, what you feel, and they're like, that's not real. There's no such thing. Like, what are you talking about?
And you're
about?
Like, no, really,
no,
it's a
this
thing.
Is a
it
thing.
Happens
it
to
exists.
Me. It's a thing.
Now, disclaimer, it's not life-threatening or anything, but it can cause hella anxiety, and it can happen while other sleep disorders that you may or may not have are also taking place at the same time. Most of the time people experience it when they're a lot younger, but it can also take place typically in your 20s and 30s is what I read, but I believe it can also continue out throughout the rest of your life as well. But the main thing that I saw was when you're really young and 20s and 30s.
Yeah, I saw, I mean, I've been suffering from it since I was probably like 10.
I've had it since I was like, I want to say 5.
Wow.
So I was little. That's part of my story. But these experiences will last anywhere from just a few seconds to a few minutes each time. So for your more scientific explanation, generally when you're sleeping, your body is relaxed and your voluntary muscles don't move. So if you have a dream when you're moving or thrashing around, you wouldn't be able to hurt yourself in real life by swinging your arm and flailing all over the place. It's just your body's way of protecting yourself. Sleep paralysis is basically a disruption or some sort of fragmentation of your REM cycle, which is your rapid eye movement cycle. Your body goes back and forth between REM and non-REM throughout the entire night, and you'll spend the majority of your time sleeping in non-REM state, but your dreams take place during the REM state. And this is when people's eyes flutter back and forth, and their eyes are closed, but their eyeballs are
just like going, gotcha.
So that's when you're dreaming. For sleep paralysis to happen, it means that your body's transition, either going in or out of REM state, is not syncing up properly with your brain. So basically you're awake, but your body remains paralyzed, believing that it's still asleep. And the parts of the brain that detect the threats are in an overly heightened state, and they're incredibly overly sensitive. Oversensitive. Your breathing remains slow and steady because, like I said, your body still thinks it's asleep.
Yeah.
And your body itself just feels incredibly heavy, which often leads you to feeling trapped inside of your own body.
Ugh.
So you're not able to move any part of your own body.
Yeah, you just
not
can't.
Not your fingers, your toes, your lips, arms, legs, eyes, nothing. No matter how hard you try, you just cannot move. It's human nature to just kind of like feel panicked at that point. Your heart starts to beat faster, but you're unable to pick up your breathing to match what you're feeling. You know, you're like, oh my God, I'm getting scared. And you're able to take a deeper breath.
Yeah.
You can't change that at all. You're still breathing as if you're knocked out cold and sleeping. So you might feel at this point like you're being smothered by the weight of your own body. It's important to keep in mind that this is physically not harmful to you or your body, but it's just a little glitch in your system.
Like your body's system.
But you're more likely to experience sleep paralysis if you suffer from narcolepsy, irregular sleeping patterns, depression, migraines, obstructive sleep apnea, hypertension, anxiety disorders, or if you fall asleep on your back, or if it runs in your family. I don't know if it runs in my family or not. I don't believe I've tried to talk to anybody about this, but I do have migraines. I do have depression. I do have anxiety. Hey, look at that. 4 out of how many? It's enough.
That's funny because, like, obviously it's something I've suffered from for...
Well, you
well,
have
how old, I'm 20,
a regular
I'm 25.
Sleeping patterns for
oh, yeah.
fucking sure. And
shut
not
the
to
fuck
put
up.
I'm not trying to put your other business out there, but I know you can check out a couple other things off this list.
I'm literally, like, the worst sleeper, like, my life.
My husband, too, with his job.
Yeah.
Like, working halfway overnight. It's like, how do you not experience that with...
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know for me, like, I just, like, my sleep is just terrible. Like, I wake up early, usually at, like, 5:30 or 6.
Oh, fuck that.
And then I don't normally go to bed until, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, regularly. So.
Fuck that.
Yeah, and then I have, like, super, super bad anxiety. And then, like, migraines and, like, that whole brain thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I never even, like, bothered to think about, like, why. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Look at Ashley giving me my medical diagnosis today.
I am not a doctor. Please don't treat me like one. I'm just reading off of...
Send us all of your questions, and Ashley will get back to you guys.
Let me try to decode your dreams while I'm at that. Fucking do it wrong on purpose, and then you'll never reach out to me again.
I love it.
That'd be kind of fun, though. People would just be like,
send us your
guys'
dreams. Oh, my God. No.
We can do
it. Send us your guys' dreams. That would be so cool. I tried a dream journal.
Oh.
Because I have, like, ever since I had my son 5 years ago, I have the most vivid dreams sometimes.
I've always had really, like, bad vivid dreams.
And some of them are, like, really creepy. Like, I still have this, like, one recurring dream of, like, my grandfather passed away a month before my due date, and I have this really weird dream of the very last time that I had seen him and, like, when he touched my stomach, and I will wake up, like, feel, it's so weird. It's, like, the most vivid thing in the world, and the dream never changes. So, like, every single time I have the dream, like, I wake up and I journal about it really quick, and then, like, later I'll compare to, like, the last one, and, like, word for word, it's the same every That's single time.
Weird. I used to do that. I didn't get, like, an actual journal for my stuff, but I would, like, pull out paper and start to write down my dreams. I ended up just being up for several hours, and I would write, like pages and pages because my dreams were so fucking detailed.
Right.
I would have so many pages of this dream, and it was, I don't know what happened to them all. I either threw them away or I lost them or something.
See, that's why I like to do that, because, like, if I don't put it down, like, right then and there,
I forget it.
I'll kind of, like, start to forget it, and it won't seem, like, as vivid or as real as it did, but I have, like, vivid
They're
dreams.
Intense.
It's weird. Yeah, so send us your guys' dreams.
That'd be a cool episode to do.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about them, if you're okay with that, and you're, like, into
that. Or you could just not tell me your name, and then we won't read your name.
Yeah, that works,
Anonymous.
Too.
Anon. I am Anon.
Back to Ashley now.
So, from the website that I was checking out, they've categorized the three different types of sleep paralysis that people often experience. First one is intruder. So when you hear sounds of doorknobs and doors opening, shuffling footsteps, you possibly see a shadow man. Or there's a sense of a threatening presence in the room. The second one would be an incubus. It's a feeling of pressure on the chest and the body, difficulty breathing, sometimes accompanied with the sense of being smothered, strangled, or sexually assaulted, and the individual believes they're about to die. And the third one being vestibular motor. It's a sense of spinning, falling, floating, flying, hovering over one's own body, or another out-of-body type of experience.
Oh, wow.
So, personally, I've experienced all three of them.
Oh, okay.
Most commonly for me, I experience the vestibular motor one. Usually, it's after every single time I go to an amusement park, or I've spent the day driving a lot, or even if it's just randomly. I always thought it was linked to my vertigo or just mm-hmm. something else, just random. I didn't actually realize until I was doing this that this was part of it. But this is the only one that I'm okay with because usually I can feel it after I've been laying in bed for a few minutes and all of a sudden I start to feel literally like I'm on a roller coaster and I'm just laying there and all of a sudden like my feet start to go up and then they're back down and then my head's going up and you feel like you're moving on like just, you know, not scary farm roller coaster.
That reminds me of like when you drink a little too much and you get the spins and then you go lay in bed before you throw up.
That's fucking disgusting. I hate that feeling as well. But yeah, kind of like that. But so for me, if I leave this feeling, if I move, because I'm still awake when this is happening, uh-huh. this is why I'm okay with this one. Because I still have the ability to like turn on my side, do something and it snaps me out of mm-hmm. that feeling and then I'm fine. But if I let it linger too long, then it makes me feel like I have that type of hangover, and it actually triggers my vertigo, and then I'm just totally screwed for the whole entire night, the next day. It's just, it's not fun. If you have vertigo, you know the struggle. That's the worst. It's like car sick constantly. So when I was younger, I was like 5 or 6 years old. This is the very first time that I actually ever experienced full-on sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. I would stay over at my grandma and my grandpa's house all the time, and I would sleep in between them in their bed. And a handful of times, I remember waking up and not being able to move. And I would be facing my grandma, and I knew, like, all I needed to do was make enough of a sound for her to turn over and be like, what, are you okay? Or, like, check on me. Just something to get her to shift or to move. And I knew that would, like, pull me out of it. But I would always just feel, like, tucked in, trapped, and that I couldn't break out of it. And I was trying my hardest to scream, and I was trying my hardest to just move anything that I could, and nothing was working. My muscles would start to cramp up. I'm pretty certain I was, like, starting to cry at a certain point, but I don't know if you're capable of producing tears or not during this, so mm-hmm. I don't really know. But it was just awful, and it was traumatizing, and it happened to me a couple of times when I was staying at their house, but never anywhere else. It was only when I was at their house, and I just figured,
that's
like,
so weird.
I was young enough to think, like, maybe it was just the position that I was in, and I just felt trapped.
Maybe it was, like, being away from your parents, or, like, being away from, like, your normal, like, comfort zone, and your body was, like, feeling, like, super anxious.
Well, because it's brought on by stress, definitely.
Yeah, so maybe your body was just feeling, like, super stressed about
not
being
at
home or whatever.
I didn't do well with sleepovers when I was little. I was fine. I used to stay the night at my grandma and my grandpa's house often, but I didn't do well staying away from my mom and my dad. I wanted to be at home more often, so I couldn't stay at, like, tried to stay at, over at my cousin's house or, like, a friend's house, and I would always be like, no, like, I'd cry in the middle of the night, and my mom would have to come and pick me up.
It's kind of funny, because I was always really good with sleepovers, except for at this one girl's house. She lived right down the street from us, and her parents were, like, very different, like, super eclectic, and, like, now looking back, I'm super into how their house was, because they were, like, super goth. And they would have, like, skeletons and skulls, like,
but for
everywhere.
A child, that's traumatizing.
But, like,
sure.
It was overkill. Like, it was overkill. Like, literally every single square inch of their living room was, like, covered in something creepy. A
couple things here and there are fine, but the whole entire thing
was like
Halloween all year
and
long.
And we would always have to sleep out there.
Oh.
And, like, they wouldn't let us all sleep in the bedroom. We had to sleep out in the living room. It was super, super creepy. Her parents were not always very nice. And I legitimately would get, like, upset, like, in the middle of the night. I'm like, I want to go home. And then finally, I was like, Mom, like, don't ever let me go and sleep over there
again. I'm not staying there anymore. We're done with this,
yeah,
friend.
But
bye.
Anywhere else, I was totally fine. And it's funny because, like, now I'm, like, I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know
was
if I would, like,
influence?
Decorate, like, a whole house like that.
No, I've seen people
more,
do
like,
it pretty tastefully.
Theirs was not
bit.
Very tasteful, honestly. Mm. Sorry. It wasn't very...
It doesn't...
It wasn't
okay.
Super tasteful.
I don't care about them. So.
But, yeah, so I get that. It was just that house. Fuck. Just that house.
I had it all the fucking time.
Actually,
time.
One time, my parents had me stay with them for what was supposed to be a week while they weren't out of town.
Oh.
And it was terrible. It was horrible, and 3 days in, the mom was, like, being really mean to me because she knew that I didn't like sleeping in the living room, but, like, that was where all of the kids had to sleep if they were all staying there, and I asked to go to my grandma's house instead, and they got, like, super, super offended.
I mean, at a certain point, you've got to be understanding if you've got that kind of decoration out.
I was a kid, too.
Somebody else's child.
I was, like, 8.
Like, fine, I'll raise my kids however I want to raise them and make them get used to whatever decorations I have up in the house. But to expect somebody else's child to just come in
and
be,
like,
and, like,
you know, my parents
it.
Are not like that.
Not
at
all.
My parents are, like,
they're definitely
super
not.
Old school. Everything in my mom's house is, like, really chic and...
Not goth.
No.
In any way.
Very well decorated and...
It's cute. It's pretty.
Yeah, so...
It's classy.
Was not what I was used to.
Mm-mm. Definitely not. Okay, so that was my childhood experience. But a few years ago was the fucking worst experience that I've ever had with this.
Ooh.
And it was very, very scary for me. So it happened a handful of times in about a week.
Oh, God.
We were living in our townhouse that we were in the beginning of our relationship. My husband... like he still does to this day, would come home from work in the middle of the night. So I was very familiar with the sounds of what our old bed used to sound like in our room and everything.
Okay.
And, you know, hearing him come in and hearing him walk into the bedroom and the feeling of him pushing down on the mattress, climbing into the bed and... You know, you can feel where your points of impact are when you have your hand and then you're putting your knee on the bed and you're climbing, like...
Yeah.
He climbs in the same way every single night and you just get used to that. And the bed frame used to make this really, really unmistakable creaking sound.
Oh.
So during my little episode, I heard someone come up the stairs and down the hall of our little place. Heard the bedroom door open and the carpet being, like, smushed, like, footprints walking towards where his side of the bed was. And I'm thinking, like, okay, he's home. But I'm feeling a little uneasy. And I'm like, I'm just laying here, I'm sleeping, feeling totally normal. But all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm a little uneasy about it. And then I feel the mattress start to go down, like, as if he's trying to climb into the bed. Mm-hmm. And I'm simultaneously hearing the creak of the actual bed frame. And I know, like, without being able to have, like, confirmation and without being able to see him, I know that it's not him that's climbing into the bed.
Ooh.
But it feels like somebody is. And I just, all I can hear, and I can still hear it right now, like, playing in the back of my mind, is just the creaking of the bed and feeling the mattress get pushed down. It was a small bed. It was a full-size bed for the two of us.
Okay.
So it was close enough to where, like, you could
feel. To where you would feel it, yeah.
Absolutely feel it. It felt very dark. It felt very evil. I never felt like anybody was actually on top of me. I didn't feel like anybody touched me or anything like that. The only thing that felt very, like, suffocating and, like, crushing for me was the weight of my own body and the fact that I was sleeping on my side when it happened.
Oh,
and so, like,
okay.
My face was kind of, like, pushed into the pillow a little bit, and all I wanted to do was move my face out of the way and, like, tilt my head up a little bit more so that way I could breathe better.
Yeah.
And you can't do that at all.
Because you can't move.
You can't move. So when I was finally able to move, I thought I was going to have to, like, reach for, like, my weapon or something. But as soon as I opened my eyes, I realized that there was nobody there. I had never felt that scared in my life. I was so certain, like, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that there was an intruder in the house. And after all the times that I ran through different scenarios in my head of, like, this is what I would do if this. This
you
is how I would handle
do
this.
Any of it.
I'm prepared. I was, like, I was pissed at myself. I felt like, how did you, what, you sack of shit. Like, you just let it happen. Like, you were just a sitting duck. I was really mad at myself for not being more proactive and not trying to do something to protect myself with it. And I was like, what, like, if something had happened to me, people would just be like, was she just a heavy sleeper? Because I'm not a heavy sleeper. You know me, you know I'm not a heavy sleeper. So it took me a little while to calm myself down, went back to sleep, and no less than a full half hour later, it happened again. I woke myself up, turned on the lights this time, walked around, looked around the room, and I had a really hard time falling asleep after that. So I Googled how to snap out of sleep paralysis because I kind of started to realize, like, this isn't real. Like, if I'm physically able to, you know, realize, like, I can't move, I'm awake, the same thing keeps happening to me, and I know this feeling of being trapped and that I can't move. Because it's happened so many other times that it wasn't significant enough for me to really note. But these are the times that, like, really, really, really messed me up enough. What I saw on Google was, like, of course you're not going to be able to move your whole foot or a whole leg, but try to focus on something small, like a smaller digit. So it says pick a toe and try your hardest just to, like, think about wiggling that one toe. And that ended up, when it happened again, it was, like, the next day or something like that, it happened again to me. The exact same thing, feeling like someone was pushing down on the bed, hearing it, everything just as it happened the first time. And I was like, okay, here we go with the toe, like, I'm gonna do it. And it worked. It took a second, but you're, like, wiggling it, and then all of a sudden you can wiggle another two toes with it, and then it's the whole top half of your foot, and then you can shake your foot out of it.
You're like,
and then
good.
You're like, holy crap, I can finally breathe.
Yeah.
It's just, you do. You feel totally suffocated, and it's the fucking worst thing in the world. Like, I will take being sick. I will take everything.
Yeah.
But this is just a paralyzing, nasty, nasty little fear. And it sucks because that week, like I said, it happened to me multiple times. And it would be, like, the second night that it happened and, like, the third night that it had happened to me, it was like, okay, I got out of it. I would put my head back down, and I didn't even bother to look around the room because I knew what it was. But I would put my head back down, and all of a sudden, I would feel stuck again.
Oh.
And I was like, my head hadn't even hit the pillow for more than 2 seconds,
and
already
like,
I was, like, stuck. Yeah.
I wonder if it's because, like, your body
it's
was,
just
like,
so tired. That's what I was thinking.
That, like, your body was kind of like how they're saying that, like, sleep paralysis is, like your brain waking up before your body. It's like your body was like ready to go back to sleep, but your brain like wouldn't hold on, just stop for a second.
Let me readjust. So maybe to this.
That's like why it kept. That's what I was like thinking that.
Because it was for a full week, and I know I had. This was when I was, you know, working at a different store and everything, and we had a lot going on, and it was kind of a stressful time, so I'm sure that had a lot to deal with it as well too. But I at least now I know how to break it, and so when it does happen, like, I can just, you know, go back to my little toe trick. But on the website, I did also see tips for better sleep if you are suffering with this, because there's no real treatment for sleep paralysis. And by the way, if it is really that bad and you're afraid to go to sleep or you have serious trouble sleeping, you do need to go see a doctor about it. They can, you know, make whatever other recommendations for you. But you can try, you know, stress management, trying to work on your own stress, maintaining a regular sleep schedule, Shauna, and observing good sleep habits. And the website listed all these things about, like, nope, be on your phone, don't eat before bed, don't do this, and, like, you know, for good sleep habits, but fuck that, you can figure it out on your own. And working out about 2 hours before bed can also reduce the likelihood of sleep paralysis if it is something that you suffer from. So I hope not many of you have to live with that, but I'm sure it's something that at least a handful of you experience from time to time.
Yeah,
if both of us have to experience
upon research,
that,
it seems like it's a very big thing.
A lot more common than I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
None of my friends seem to know what it is, though, so.
Except for this bitch over
here,
apparently. Yes. So I'm going to get into the Hat Man and a little bit of Shadow People. And then after that, I will talk a little bit about the creepy ass thing that happened to me tonight. And we'll link it a little bit back to some other stuff that we talked about in a previous episode, as well as something I haven't really talked about with anyone.
Yes.
So the Hat Man. So many people who suffer from sleep paralysis have said that during their episodes, they report seeing shadow people or, like, a shadow person that is wearing a hat. One consistent one is the tall man that's got, like, a brimmed hat on. Some report seeing numerous shadow people, with one of them being, like, the Hat Man. So they'll see, like, three people, and two of them will just be, like, shadow people, and then one will be the shadow person, but with, like, the hat. So, like, two are shadow people, one's, like, a Hat Man.
Mm, okay.
So a lot of people report seeing numerous ones, and they all say that they get the feeling that the one wearing the hat is the leader. So, like, he's leading,
freaky,
like, the other ones. So numerous people have said that. People all over the world are actually basically describing the exact same thing that's tormenting them at night.
I hate when that happens, because it just makes it so much more real.
If you guys look up, we'll link it in the show notes. But if you look up the Hat Man, like, literally Google it, the very first video that comes up on YouTube is, like, a little mini documentary. And I watched that one, and it was just weird because this person went and interviewed and got, like, gathered information from a ton of different people all over the world, and everyone was basically saying the same thing. It's called Quartz News.
Okay.
That was the one that I had watched, and yeah, they had interviewed people, like, all over the world, and everyone's kind of saying the exact same thing. Like, they're all seeing the same thing. Common traits. Well, actually, the Hat Man's also referred to as the Gray Man or the Shadow Man. And the common traits are, it's, like, a dark figure, it's faceless, wears a hat, person cannot speak or move, like, while they're seeing this person. Almost everyone says that they have, like, really hard time breathing. They feel something heavy on their chest, like someone is pressing down on them. And once they can start moving again, the Hat Man is gone. So,
see, I didn't see anything. I couldn't open my eyes, but I definitely feel like I felt him. I definitely feel like he was in my room.
I've never personally, like, seen something.
Oh, if I see that,
while
I
I've had
crying.
An episode. We'll talk a little bit more. I'll be more into that in a few minutes. But for me, anyways, it always happens after, like, a really, really terrible dream. like, especially one of my very vivid ones. Yeah. And then it'll happen after. So it's, like, I see, I'll see something in a dream that, like, seriously distresses me. And then, like, I'll have a sleep paralysis episode. But, like, I won't see something while I'm stuck in the episode. So, I don't know. I read that, like, quite a few people say that they felt like the entity is trying to, like, steal their soul. Yeah, for some people, they say that it's very much a spiritual demonic attack. So
it definitely felt like that. Especially, like, once I realized, like, okay, there wasn't anybody in here,
you felt like it was something evil.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will say that when that's happening to them and when they see the Hat Man, that they feel like it's, like, a spiritual, like, evil attack on their soul.
I told my mom
not just,
about that.
Like, an experience.
My mom got mad and she was just like, stop watching scary things on TV. You're inviting it into the house.
That's how my mom would have been, which will be why I never talked to my mom about the things that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. Artwork of these stories actually goes back to ancient Babylon and Greece. It goes back really far. I want to say the Greek myth of it, it was like a doctor that was coming in and like pressing on people's chests while they were sleeping.
I want to know more about that. It's really weird.
I'm going to eventually look more into that. I didn't want to, like, this is a bitty bothered, so I didn't want to go, like, super, super in-depth on it. But shadow people do go all the way back to ancient Babylon and Greece.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Also found very deep roots in the Arctic, Japan, and Newfoundland. So, yeah, it's definitely, like, a really big thing, and it dates back really, really far. Many say that he brings bad fortune or even death, too.
I was gonna say that, if it's, like, an omen.
Yeah, so a lot of people report that, like, after they see him, that, like, something bad happens after. Oh, some report deaths, like, within their family or people close to them. It's also been reported that in some cases he makes himself visible to multiple generations of family members. And that's where, while I was reading it, when everything kind of, like, tied in for me. These incidences are usually written off as being due to sleep deprivation. A lot of people that experience substance abuse, especially with methamphetamine, have had issues with sleep paralysis and supposedly seeing the Hat Man. Which, obviously, because a lot of cases where you have substance abuse, you're not sleeping.
Yeah, definitely.
So you are sleep-deprived, which puts you more prone to sleep paralysis. But a lot of those people do mention, like, seeing shadow people or the Hat Man. And most people obviously just write it off as, like, oh, well,
it's hallucination of whatever I'm doing.
You're doing drugs. So, like, that's why you're seeing it. A lot of people also say that it's happened to them after Ouija board activity.
Oh, don't you bring that into the house.
Exactly. Or there's just a scientific explanation behind it, like everything that Ashley kind of had gone into. So if you don't believe in
spiritual
kind of stuff or the paranormal, then obviously you're going to go for, like, the more scientific answer when it comes to it, which is fine.
Is it weird that I kind of believe in both of it? Where it's just, like, clearly this scientifically makes sense.
No, it's not weird. I do think that a lot of it does have to do, like, with science and the things that are going on with our body. That's why that's causing sleep paralysis. And obviously not every single person that's suffering from sleep paralysis is seeing these kinds of things. So there very much is, like, scientific explanation behind it.
For sure.
But, I mean, I do think that it is kind of crazy that people all over the world are all talking about this super, super similar incident.
And for it to date back so much further beyond any science ever started.
And
you know?
Now it's gotten so big because about 10 or 15 years ago, I don't remember the name, it'll be on the show notes, came out talking specifically about sleep paralysis and things that are happening when you're sleep deprived. And that was when the conversation of, like, shadow people and the Hat Man kind of started to become, like, a little bit more widespread.
Interesting.
And
I don't think I know what you're talking about. It's a person?
So it's actually called Coast to Coast AM, and it's a late night radio talk show, and that was one of the big ones that got people like talking about shadow people.
Interesting.
And yeah, so that was one of the big ways that this came out and people really started talking about it.
I wonder if they have a podcast. I don't want to listen to radio at night, but
I know, maybe a little bit later. But once I found that out, that's kind of all I have for the Hat Man, to be honest with you. Also, it said that it helped inspire the Slender Man
thing. I kind of figured that that's what that was going to be about.
But shadow people, it dates back really, really far. There's like a ton of stuff on it, and like omens that people believe that come with it. A lot of people report like shadow people following them around like for years of their life. And that's kind of what I'm going to get into right now.
There is a movie based on the Hat Man. I didn't get to see it. The reason why we kind of jumped on this one is my friend texted me and she was just like, this would be a really cool topic for you guys. So thank you, Emily, for the suggestion. But I didn't get a chance to watch the movie before we had the opportunity to record. But if you guys have Amazon, I believe it's on Amazon, go check it out. Tell me what you think.
So while I was kind of researching this, I came across a website that's called the Hat Man Project. And I know. This is, I got like, I'm like, I have the goosebumps right now. It's really weird.
She went from being totally fine, like, during my whole portion of it, and then halfway through hers, she just, her just image and everything just totally shifted. And you can, she's sitting up, and she's very uncomfortable, and you can see it all over her.
So I found this website. It's basically this guy, he had come forward, and he had his first experience with the Hat Man, I want to say it said back in 1994, and he wanted to start a website where he could talk about his experiences and everything that had happened with him, because he's one of those people where he believed that it was a generation-to-generation thing. And people go on the website and they basically share their experiences and talk about their experiences with either specifically the Hat Man or shadow people. And so while I was reading everything, one thing that kept coming up was the Hat Man showing himself to more than one generation of, like, in a family. So for me, we talked about in one of the earlier episodes about how my old house was definitely very, very haunted. And one of the things that I would always see that my mother has seen, and I even talked to her about it today, was a man that would kind of go back and forth in our hallway that was really tall.
Fuck that guy.
Dark.
I don't like that.
Faceless. Super, super similar to everything that I read today. Had a, like, dark hat, like a brim, just like...
Yes, and I remember you telling the story.
Just like everything I read today. And I'd seen him numerous times. My mother had seen him. And I never really connected anything until today, only because my grandmother actually used to tell me stories of her having some sleep paralysis issues down on the ranches in Mexico. And every time we had talked about it, she would get visibly uncomfortable. She wouldn't really want to say much other than, I was at the ranch. I'd always keep my rosary hanging on the wall because I never really felt super easy there. And there were a couple times where I had woken up and I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. And she would, after she would be able to, like, kind of come to, she would be super, super anxious and just have, like, these terrible feelings of dread. She didn't really like to talk about that kind of stuff. And that really just meant that I never got, like, a ton of answers when it came to, like, things she had seen or anything like that. So, obviously, I have suffered from sleep paralysis since I was probably, like, 10, like, 10-ish. Most of the time for me, it happens after I have, like, a really, really bad nightmare or just, like, a really bad dream, something super, super vivid, and I'll wake up and I can't move, I can't speak, and for me, I always get, like, that super heavy feeling on my chest. It feels like I'm, like, suffocating.
Like someone's pushing something on you.
And, I haven't really quite figured out how to get myself out of it. Eventually, like, I've noticed that sometimes I'll start to make, like, just enough noise. I'm very much single for the last couple years, so making a noise doesn't really matter. But back when I was with my son's father, there were quite a few times where he would realize that I was struggling and he would kind of like try to wake me, and that would kind of kick me out of it. And I have noticed that it usually happens to me after I get, like, super, super stressed or have had maybe, like, a really rough week, like, at work. And that will kind of, like, happen.
I'm sorry. I thought it was funny when you were like, he just needs to kick me and it'll snap me out of it.
Yeah.
And, but that's literally, like
that's all
I'm
I
dying
need.
For somebody to just kick
like,
me.
Just touch just, me. Just a little bit.
Just the slightest little touch. And it's like, I know this will work. And it's
yeah, like just enough.
How do I
just
communicate
enough.
With you telepathically to just turn on your side and go boop?
Yeah. But so today I'm sitting there, I'm reading all of these people's like firsthand accounts and everyone's accounts sound super, super similar. And it's just, it's terrible to see all of these people that are experiencing the exact same thing. And one guy was talking about how he believes that shadow people have been following him around since he was 15. Mm-hmm. And I want to say when he wrote the article, he was like in his late 20s. So it's something that he felt has been happening for a really long time. And that's when it kind of hit me that I used to feel that way, like when I was younger. And I think Ashley and I kind of talked about it on that one episode. And I could never really explain it, which is why I never said anything to anyone, because it's not like I was seeing someone. It was just this feeling, this gross feeling, and it was just like dark and scary. And all of these people are explaining that that's what they're experiencing too. So I'm like sitting there reading it, and all of a sudden, like my chest started to feel like really, really tight. I wasn't scared or anything like that. But my eyes just instantly started, like, welling up, and I was just crying. Like, I couldn't stop it, just tears streaming down my face, and I had to just, like, close my laptop and be like, okay, I need to take a few seconds. And then I went and I talked with my mom a little bit, and she had been like, yeah, you know, like, I understand what you're talking about. Like, you've never brought it up, like, as a kid, but I do remember, like, my mom talking about those things that happened on the ranch. God. And she had brought up, like, her experience at our old house and everything. So it was just really weird because people do say that they have seen, like, the Hat Man when they are not suffering from sleep paralysis. So people have
Yikes.
Seen it, like, just up. And one...
No, thank you.
One that I read on the website that I didn't really know how to take too seriously was a woman said that her ex-fiancé had been saying for years that someone had been following him around, and he always felt just like this deep feeling of dread. And this one's a little this is a little fucked up. I wasn't really sure if I was going to talk about it. You guys can all go on the Hat Man Project website and read it if you really want to, because it was pretty long. But basically she said that her daughter, who I believe was like 7 or 8, said that she had seen the Hat Man in her room. And he walked out of her room and went into her mom and his and her fiance's room. And a couple minutes later, the fiance came back in and molested the girl. But
that's awful.
She was convinced that her fiance didn't know that he was doing it. And because for months he had been complaining about someone following him around and him seeing something, she
like
truly
was possessed.
Yeah, like she truly believed that he had like taken on, like latched on to him and did that to the girl.
Because if he's a spirit and he can't do anything,
yeah,
then I need to assume someone's body to be able to do it. I can see that being a spiritual believer. I can see that, but being a realist at the same time, you're just like, fuck you, you piece of shit, you're full of it.
Yeah,
like,
and she said ex-fiancé, so I'm
clearly,
going to assume they didn't
I mean,
work things out
regardless
after that.
Of what you believe, spiritual or not, how can you keep that person...
Sorry, guys.
It's okay, I made a sound earlier and I was going just trying to cover it up. How
but
can
yeah.
you keep that person in your life with your child if they assaulted your child like that? Like,
exactly.
I don't care who you are. You do anything to my child like that, no matter what type of a relationship it is, I can't bring you around my child. It's my child first.
Yeah. So that was one of the accounts that
Jeez,
I had read.
That's awful.
I know. So after that, that was kind of when, like, that really weird feeling that I had kind of crept up on me. So I stopped really looking into it then. But, yeah, that was, like, the Hat Man. There wasn't a ton of information specifically on him. It was mostly linked to shadow people and beliefs that come with shadow people and
people's experiences
with them. Obviously, I'd mentioned, like, it goes back really, really far. And now it's, like, this widely popular thing. And I would recommend, like, looking into it if you've ever felt, you know, kind of, like, uneasy. Like, oh, I feel like something's following me. I feel like someone's around me. Someone's watching me. A lot of other people feel that way. And a lot of people, once they really, like, look into it, they feel that this is definitely something that's happening to them. And it's not only people with sleep paralysis that are experiencing it. So, like, though they are linked, they also are two separate things.
At the same time.
So.
Jesus. I wonder if it's just because, like, it makes it easier for them to be, like, make their presence known if you have the sleep paralysis.
I'm sure. So that's why because you're in that, like, compromised position.
It's the worst fucking thing in the world. I wish, as awful as this sounds, like, I've always said, you know, like, I wish, because my, you know, lady time cramps were always really, really awful. Mm-hmm. And I've always just wished that I could just be, like, for a second, like, touch you and be like, here, now you can feel what I feel to, like, my husband, or, like, to show my mom and be like, is this normal? Because this fucking does not feel like it's supposed to be normal. And, you know, I'm just trying to say, like, I wish that I could have people experience what I am experiencing.
Yeah.
If only for a couple of seconds, just so that way you can see what it's like. Because you really can't relate to it unless it's something that you're experiencing yourself. And this is a messed up, why this has to happen to people. It's really awful. It's very scary, very traumatizing, and it totally amps up the anxiety.
I totally understand what you're talking about. Like, it's something that you can't, like, always put to words, and I think
I tried. I typed everything out, and I'm like, you're still missing something. Yeah,
and, like, for me, that's why I've never spoken with anyone, like, about it. It's something that happened, like, well into my teens and everything. Ugh. I never told my mom about it until today, when this whole thing had come up.
I don't think I told her about it until the one happened when we were living in our townhouse, and I was like,
I was legitimately spooked,
and I was like,
you're like, what is going on?
Someone broke into the house last night, and they ran out within 2 seconds of me waking up, or
something.
I
had
a ghost. There's like, I'm being haunted by something. Like, I was just not okay.
And another good one that this made me really think of was, I don't know if you've watched it, but The Haunting of Hill House.
I have not.
Netflix, you should definitely watch it, because it made me think of, you know, one of the main characters in The Bent Neck Lady. So,
ew.
If you haven't watched it, you should definitely watch it.
Sounds
because
disgusting.
One of the girls, she suffers from sleep paralysis.
Oh, good. Then I can relate to her a little bit.
But so that was a cool one. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah. I would love to know if anybody else suffers from this. Maybe we'll throw a poll up.
Yeah.
Like, the day or two before.
Let us know
this
if you, like, suffer from sleep paralysis, or if you've seen anything weird while you've been having, like, a sleep paralysis episode. I mean, I've never seen anything, but I've seen things after. I've had really weird dreams prior to having an episode. So tell us, like, What's happened to you guys?
Yeah, I want to know about that.
Or tell us how you feel like you can, like, help your sleep paralysis. Like, you know, Ashley was mentioning, tips and the toe thing. So, like, do you guys have something you could suggest, you know?
Email us. botheredaf@gmail.com.
DM us on Instagram.
Please do.
Bothered_AF. There's an Facebook page that you can send messages to. I will respond to them, I swear. Literally,
she's
just go on Facebook and just look up Bothered AF. There's a page there. Leave comments, whatever you guys want to do, but
make
talk
your own
to us about
groups
it.
On there. You know, maybe there'll be some, what, I don't know what we're gonna call our,
I don't know,
our gatherings, our people.
I don't know.
Botherers.
No,
y'all are bothered.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Just
you,
like,
come
we
up
are.
With your own name, figure it out, put it on Facebook. Put it out there into the world.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Do it. But it's almost 1 a.m., which means we need to get going.
Which means we're both exhausted.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Because we're both off tomorrow. I actually have a hair appointment in the morning, so.
I have a ton of stuff I gotta do tomorrow. So, until next time, guys.
Stay bothered.
Stay bothered. Bye.